They're padding on all the whole, all of a sudden the thing starts moving. And the next thing you know, we're upside down. I turned to Jacob, I said, I so hope I throw up all over you. No, never, I didn't.
But people
I was terrorized by the thing.
Going outside of tall buildings on the side takes a certain
kind. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like window
and
washers.
We missed you.
Yes, I missed you too.
Window washers.
Were you searching for the Titanic?
That's the topic today, isn't it?
It is the topic today.
It's like the talk about.
Alan set me up well, sorry. So, Alan, you have a good introduction.
The book about dangerous things to do. That would be one of them.
What I did on my summer vacation.
That might be the last thing on your bucket
list. You're talking about going down more than 2 miles down.
Well, the ocean's a pretty good one. Go get the treasure, and then if they get anything, they bring it to you. There's somebody who's going to be a pirate and take it away. They're scared to go down to get it. They're not scared to
take it away from you. We're going to talk about that too today.
If you wanted to devise a means to humanely kill somebody, that would be the best way of doing it.
I saw a movie on an airplane.
Absolutely, not even 2 seconds, nanoseconds. Okay, instantaneous death.
They just
you wouldn't know what hit you. Believe it.
Young kids, they take them. So there was a boat, and then apparently there are a lot of ships go around there, and they try to jump on board. They have ladders they throw. You know, they throw it and then things on, and they climb up, and they have
the air inside would turn so hot, the pressure that would be hotter than the surface of the sun. Like you would melt.
Either you take
so they take them on a boat, pushing in on
it. The pressure of the ocean.
The pressure of the ocean would be, they're asking for a ransom to bring it back. And you show from the Navy ship where once it gets close enough, they try then they pretend to negotiate with them. And they say, look, come on board our ship.
Supposedly very quick.
Leave the other three of your people and we'll negotiate. So they get one person up, and of course but they have the whole time they have sharpshooters aimed at all three of them, and as soon as they can get all three, they would kill them. But it's not so easy because the captain's the way.
Right.
Jumps up and they finally did. They find all three of them finally were in the
range.
And they but they you know, you should pay because that's part of
the easy way out.
It's a crazy way because you have to have ships. Who's gonna want to work on it?
Right.
And you're fighting them off with you have fire hoses and they have machine guns.
So I visited the Baltimore Jewish community.
Oh.
Very plush of a place.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And they have nothing to live for. They live in.
They had not one but two kosher Dunkin' Donuts there.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay, good morning, everybody.
The shear was the donuts. It's the shear, not the donuts.
Right.
I went to the B&O.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. Today's shear is entitled The Titanic Treasure. Acquiring abandoned objects. Before we get to that topic itself, I think a good introduction, what was mentioned before, this past week's Parsha, Parsha's Korach. So, just in general in the Parsha, there's so many stories and much violence and putting off rebellions, layers and layers, one after the other, Moshe and Aaron have to deal with. But obviously the most famous one was Korach and his henchmen, his people, where the earth swallowed them alive. You know, the Mishnah Avos says that this wasn't just a random occurrence. Hashem prepared from Sheshes Mei Breshes, this part of the ground that was going to open and swallow Korach alive. It literally swallowed them like, after they fell into the ground, this bottomless abyss, the earth just covered it up where no one could go down and get them. Amazingly, Korach's sons did tshuva, and as they were falling down, a little edge crept up that they were able to climb back up afterwards. Amazing thing. It's one of the kapitels in Tehillim. We talk about the Vnei Korach and how literally at the last possible moment they did tshuva. But it is eerie that the timing of Parshas Korach coincided this year with a international story of this issue of a submersive submarine type vehicle that got lost searching for the Titanic. It's also eerily approaching the second yahrzeit of the Surfside collapse. Both are definitely not normative ways that people perish, and both are just horrendous, horrendous. Literally, okay, one is actually falling into an abyss, and the other one, just the idea of a collapse of a building, which is also falling into an abyss. It's eerie that they come from Parshas Korach, and I'm not here to explain any connections, and I don't know why. But what I would like to do today is study some halachic aspects of what we call the Titanic treasure. Now, before I get to that, per se, just to talk about the Titanic. Everyone knows the story of this great boat at its time was considered the invincible boat, greatest boat.
Unsinkable.
And we all know the horrible story, how it sunk, it hit an iceberg and it sunk. There's a famous children's Midos book. You know the name of the book, or the story in the book. It's called the Gaiva Titanic.
The what?
Gaiva is haughtiness.
Yeah.
So you want to depict the most haughty, you know, image, you know, a boat which the maker say it's unsinkable, and Hashem shows him otherwise. It's not true. It is sinkable. And this Midos book is actually called, involves the Gaiva Titanic, where, you know, it's a boat where everyone is on the boat. You know, each has a different Midos issue, and they, series of books, I mean, Baruch Chait, try to teach children and the adults reading them too. You know, all different things about Midos. But the Titanic, this famous unsinkable boat, we know it sunk. Not only did this happen way back in 1912, on the boat, I think the numbers were something like 2,000 people on the boat. Over 1,500 people perished.
Not enough light boats.
Right, okay, all different things they studied. Right, I just saw a stat yesterday. You said not enough lifeboat. They had each lifeboat that they did use was only at 60% of capacity. They were not filled, and they had the whole system of how they were supposed to churn out lifeboats, but they didn't inflate well. Didn't work well. The unsinkable boat didn't have an unsinkable system. And, you know, so many people perished. Now we'll get to soon, some of the people on boat who could afford, who was on this maiden journey, this great ship, lots of rich people. Mm-hmm. Jewish people, lots of rich people. And we'll see the significance of that soon. This, everyone knew basically, you know, exact coordinates of where it went down, but they had an idea. But it took almost three quarters of a century. The boat was lost in 1912, sunk in 1912. It wasn't until 1985 that they found the boat. Oh, 74 years, 73 years. It took them until they found the boat. When they found it on the ocean floor, it was split into two. The impact of hitting, whether it was the pressure from the water or the ocean floor, split this huge, you know, iron clad boat in two. And as was talked about before, recovery of bodies, that there wasn't much left. It was found somewhere, right, I think in Newfoundland. They found it 12,000 feet below the surface. And at that spot, there's so much major water pressure. The pressure of the water is so strong that that's what kept people away for so many decades from really reaching the boat, was the deep, deep, deep and powerful water pressure that you have at the bottom of the ocean. And these, since 1985, there have been multiple people that have gone down there to find the boat, to map the boat. I saw just this May, some organization called Magellan took tens of thousands of pictures they had of the boat, and they were able to construct a model of what is down there on the floor based on all their pictures. And it's amazing, you know, they're already, you know, they have estimates that it could be in another 50 years, there won't be so much of the iron, the metal, or just decay won't be there. They think the outer shell, you won't be able to find in 50 years. And that's the, what it means, the ocean floor, the pressure, all the, so many things. And you have thrill seekers that want to see the Titanic. You know, it's such a legend, and they're not satisfied with seeing pictures or documentary videos. They want to see for themselves. In the same way you have space exploration, right? You have deep sea exploration. And this company that was doing these trips, they're up to charging $250,000 to go down there per person. Go down there in this 5-person like capsule. We all know the sad story that it imploded, everyone perished. You probably knew this, the Coast Guard knew this, or the government knew this from day one. They have some secret, now not so secret, sensors that are able to detect anything going on in the ocean. Makes sense security wise, nuclear subs. And they heard it on Sunday, live. But they waited and did this drawn out search to confirm it, which didn't come until later in the week. Now, the topic, which I don't want to spend too much time on, just to spell out, you know, to do, halakhically, to do a dive like that does not sound like something which halakhically would be permissible, just to put it out there. One of the first shiur Rabbi Sharfman gave in this halakha share is skydiving and bungee jumping, all those fun things.
Unnecessary.
Right. This is beyond that scope. Whatever that is, this is beyond. Right? Skydiving is something which is, I wouldn't say common, but you know, you have 80, 90 year old people going skydiving.
Most people survive.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Skydiving, you know, intensive skiing, it could be dangerous things.
Backcountry skiing, yeah.
Dangerous things, but okay. Hunting, real expeditions, a lot of dangerous things people do. But going to the bottom of the ocean, it's just a whole other level. And especially you're dealing with oxygen issues, you're dealing with crazy water pressure. My son was telling me, they say, the more expert a person is in diving, the more dangerous it is for him. Because you're more confident in what you're doing. You've done it so many times before, you'll take risks which another other person wouldn't. So the greater you are at diving, the more dangerous these dives are, the more professional you are, the more dangerous it is. Okay, this was in a capsule, but even the capsule, what they say, was controlled by a little Nintendo 35.
Right, it seemed jury
rigged. Right?
Really?
It seems like a death trap. And halakhically, it's important to know, these are the type of things that do not qualify can't put yourself in a makom sakana, can't put yourself in a dangerous situation. The Gemara even talks about a person who goes into an abandoned house, which the house might cave in. Even a person emerges, the Gemara says you have to be wary because you don't know how many schosim did you spend to get out of there.
Yeah.
And there's putting yourself in a makom sakana, that itself is an avera. That itself is a sin. And it doesn't mean every single time a person puts himself in makom sakana, he's going to perish. But a price tag. It costs money. It costs a person's scar. So we don't look to do crazy things, you know. Let some other daredevil do it. It's not on us. But what I would like to talk about, I found, you know, in reading about the story, it's very interesting. Since 1985, when they found it, there are a lot of artifacts they recovered from the Titanic. And originally, it was somewhat of a free-for-all. People would get artifacts. I saw something, there are some artifacts sitting in some hotel on the Vegas Strip. Everyone's fascinated by the Titanic. They were able to find the bell that they use on the ship, you know, I guess to call people to dinner. They found you know, stemware. They have
dishes,
yeah,
all different stuff from the Titanic they found. I believe they even found Josh's top hat from the Titanic, right? People went to balls, right?
They found his Mets cap.
Yeah. All right, top hat. When you went to a ball, you know, a gala in the Titanic, you had to come dressed. Couldn't wear a baseball cap. But they found all different types of things. And later, after there was some degree of free-for-all, the UN put out those international waters, and they made some resolution between countries that, you know, people shouldn't just loot the Titanic. But there's definitely been stuff that's been put up for auction, for sale, and that's really what I want to talk about this morning, because I think it is an interesting halachic topic. The acquiring abandoned objects, especially in a situation like this, where it's deep, deep underwater. Now, first let's talk about the status of the objects in the Titanic. And really this, I'm gonna flash back, we gave a share about the Surfside collapse and the objects over there. We didn't delve into how to be Conant. I'm doing this added aspect today. Now the Gemara has a famous precedent, and it's sad because, you know, this is what the Gemara talks about. The Gemara talks about items lost at sea. Zutil shel yam, shel shenar, things which are lost at sea. What's the status of those objects? And the Gemara says if someone loses an object at sea, those objects are ownerless and finders keepers. Now the Rishonim argue exactly why is that. One idea is the normal procedure when someone loses an object is when they give up hope, then the object would go to a person who then finds it. If a person found it before the person gave up hope, that wouldn't be so. They would have a chiyuv to return it. Just for the record, I never saw this before. I just saw this on Shabbos. It's so interesting. I opened up a sefer. I was reading the sefer. Well, you know, I look at all the pages. On the cover page, you know, back side of the cover page of the sefer, I said the following thing. The author of the sefer was nifter decades ago. They published the sefer. They said, this Rav was the Mashgiach actually of the Lakewood Yeshiva of Lach Fogel. He was one time staying in Eretz Yisrael, some host, hotel, some room. Inside his room, he found parshios of tefillin. Didn't know who the owner was. And this little note, it's like a wanted ad in the newspaper. The little note says, if anyone knows who the parshios are, please contact blank, blank, blank. That itself deserves its own share. Here you have a situation where a person who went to the Olma Emes is Nifter, decades ago. But I assume the reason they're doing this inside is safer is he asked for this to be done. That he came across a Shavas Aveda, found Parshas Tefillin, never found the owner, asked, and they have this inside the Sefer. Let's check all the Svarim. I never noticed in one of them. It's a series of Svarim. But it says there, Hashavas Aveda, a little box, like a wanted ad, inside the Sefer. that the author who went to Olam Haba, you know, it's a whole interesting sharing. Credit you get, you know, Mason don't usually get mitzvahs, but they're trying to do a mitzvah, put an ad in the paper, ad in the Sefer. Hashavas Aveda for Parshas Tefillin. But normally, Hashavas Aveda functions through Yish. So there are Rishonim, really, that's Chor Pash Pshan one Gemara, that's the way Rashi learns, that Zuto Shoyom, these cases are the reason why it's Mutter, is because we assume the owner is Miyayish. There are other Rishonim that learn, no, it's Xeris HaKosov, it's not based on Yish. You know, Nafkaminas being if the owner would run after you and say not. Now, obviously, in a case of where the people perished in the Titanic, that's one thing. Sure, okay, that'll be mutter. But yeah, you could have cases, people survived the Titanic. 500, 600 people survived. So, but their items, Pashas in the Gemara, we assume that they're miyayish, we assume their items are ownerless, and their items that someone would find it. Stuff in the Titanic, the most easiest case, you know, floated on top, washes up by a beach, it'll be mutter for the finder to keep it. That's easy. Now, there is two other aspects which we discussed in the Surfside Halacha case. There is an idea of nimishur satin, to go beyond the letter of the law, and, you know, if something washes up, it has a locket, it has someone's name engraved on it, you can contact them, you can return it to them, there's an inyan of nimishur satin. That also is wrapped into lost objects, the halachas of lifting of Dina de Malchusa Dina, that you have to go with the local legal law. And if the government has maritime laws, they have, you know, rules for these situations, okay, you have to follow those laws. Okay, so that would take precedence. But as we said, it did take some time for the UN to put in resolutions about the treasures at the Titanic. It did take some time. So it definitely was a window of opportunity. And even after they did it, you know, these laws are not so clear. Something made by the UN, and, you know, where exactly do you try it? These things are sometimes more in the books than something practically to be enforceable. If you came in contact, if you got something, especially if you're now posting it online and showing everybody about it. Not so simply to be prosecuted so easily. So what I want to imagine today, just because it's interesting, and again, I'm not encouraging anyone to go down. That was the first part of the share. We don't think one should, could be able to go down there themselves.
That was everything I missed.
Right?
What?
Thank you. That's all I missed. I'm real lucky.
Yes.
I don't have enough money to afford this
fee,
thank God.
I don't know. You know, all these Jews started flying private. You know, maybe the next thing, they have money to throw around. You know, they're going on expeditions. Maybe if I told you find the kever underwater, everyone would be running towards it.
Even if I have the money.
Who knows?
Doesn't pay to be that rich.
They'd be alive if they weren't so old.
Yeah. But, good point.
Well, I feel sorry for that kid whose father forced him to go down.
He didn't want to go.
Yeah. That's a case, that's an exception to Kibbutz.
Kibbutz Av Eim. Good point, yes.
Don't listen to your father, you're supposed to jump out a window.
Really. Yeah. So,
especially if you're on the
thing. Right. What I would like to touch on today is, like you said, there were lots of rich people on the Titanic, on board the Titanic. Think of all the different artifacts.
Famous Jewish people were on the Titanic.
Yeah.
The co-owner of Macy's departments.
Really?
Yeah, Isidore Strauss.
Strauss.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's say you have, you know, very expensive artifacts that one can find. And let's say, let's make the case, it's not, we're talking about something that washed those ashore. We're talking about things which are on the bottom of the ship, still there, you could access. So, practically speaking, how would one acquire it? How would you cone an object? Very interesting concepts. How is a person cone, how do you acquire an object? Now, an easy thing, I'm walking down the street, I find money on the street, I pick it up, it's mine. That's easy. But I find some nice big thing, I do a dive, I find some, okay, let's make something metal, that's still there, and
the safe, the safe.
Oh, that's a nice one. Alan, that's perfect. That's the they found a safe the from the Titanic. Oh yeah, that's
and that is the movie Titanic in 97.
They talk about a safe?
Yeah, they were, the very beginning was that they had gone down and they lifted out a safe that had some paintings and whatever else.
Oh wow, right, I suppose that's some crazy painting.
And then the lady in the painting was the old lady that they now brought on.
That was the movie.
Okay.
The first one.
Yeah. But anyway, so they find a safe. Now, obviously a safe is something you're not going to be able to easily move. I'm the first person, I do a dive, I find the safe. How do I acquire it from a halachic perspective? So, exactly. So, the easy way you understand how you pick up a dollar in the street is you lift it up. Hagbah is a kinyan. Lifting up is a kinyan, right? You know, you're signing the, right? I was just there the other day, I was signing a marriage contract, you know, and they have to go, you know, pick up the pen,
so
right? The rabbi always says, here, pick up this pen, you do it,
right?
And then the photographer is taking pictures away. And like the father of the bride says to me, he's like, wow, and I realized I'm taking pictures of this pen. I've gotten a better pen. Like every little detail of the wedding is like planned out for months, everything. And here, everyone's posing with this big pen.
Right,
like, come on.
Pen.
Right. Get something nicer. But you know, this is what happens all the time. All the time. Mm-hmm. Right, Ikone. So you pick with it, picking up this pen. Right? Okay. All right. Note to self, bring a nice pen to a wedding. So, Lamaisa, so they have, easiest kidding is picking something up. You have this big safe, perfect case, Alan. You have this big, huge safe. Now, the cool thing about a safe is when you pick it up, okay, we get into other halachas of Kenyan. Do you have to know what's inside the safe for the Bikonet? Or you say, no, just have das. Whatever's in the safe, I want. So, fine. You can't pick up the safe. You can't pick up the safe if it's lying on the street. Certainly, under the water pressure on the bottom of the ocean, you're not picking that thing up so easily. So how would one be kone? I just did a dive, or better, not me, but no, my worker did a dive, and I'm making a non-Jew, and he found the safe from the Titanic. How am I kone that? You have an idea besides picking it up?
You know, we have something a little similar that's not quite as extreme, which
yeah.
is people have storage lockers that they abandon and they have auctions to buy the lockers. You
right.
don't know what's in there until you buy
right,
it.
Right, right, right. Very interesting. Right. So you could say I'm being quoted with the chutz with everything in it.
It's a reality TV show. But.
Now, interesting. Before we talk exactly how to be quoted, I have in the sheets here two interesting challenges. Which just set the tone for these things. One was a case of during World War II that someone was entrusted to someone's money, someone's wealth, and you know, the person perished. The Nazis eventually. What happens to their possessions? Right, this is current news. We have these cases all the time. Stuff that the Nazis looted, you could find in museums, you could find all different spots. Who has rights to those things? And, okay, so this Shaul Tshuva's Chelkas Yaakov deals with this. You know, that particular case, the case was where the victim of the Holocaust entrusted his money, his possession, to someone else to watch. So that's not a simple case to say that such a thing would be mutter, right? The author originally of this tshuva, Shaul, the queen and the questioner, I said, look, everyone who dies, their stuff is hefker, and everyone can be zochen. Not true. Right. In a case like that, that's not so simple. The stuff was safe in the hands of the person watching it. So that's not zutil shel yom. It's not, you know, the thing l'chora, right? Something like that. If someone entrusts someone to watch something, he's watching this. You know, as a guarantor sort of the state, and it goes on to the yarshin. It goes on to the people who would inherit it. Yeah. So that's not so simple. But the concept, what you're dealing with, is potentially stuff, okay, that wasn't entrusted, things that people had, and then the Nazis just plundered it. So yeah, there might be a din of zuta shliyam. It could be if someone finds a painting, some artifacts from the Holocaust, it could be that's already in line of the same way things get washed away at sea. We view those, you have no hope you're ever going to get it back. It's lost. So things at time of war, especially Jews' items, might also be viewed that way. Yes.
What about something a little bit less, a little bit less yeush, or something that is rumored that a lot of articles from Baisheni are in the Vatican?
Very interesting.
They deny it.
Very interesting.
there are a lot of pictures and shows
right.
that are brought to Italy.
That's a very, very interesting point. Right.
They deny having the article.
Right, what was brought up here in the crowd is about Jewish items you could have from the base of Mikdash. That's by the Vatican. How do we view those? So, Alan, you're saying, are those lost or are those stolen? They're plundered. Right? When they took the base of Mikdash, they burnt the base of Mikdash, they took out,
carted everything off.
They carted it off. That's a different type of loss. That was stolen. Now, if my object was stolen by you, it's in your possession, it's watched in your possession, that's not necessarily the same thing. It's not the same thing as something being washed away at sea. Something washed away at sea, the assumption is it's lost forever. Someone happened to find it, got lucky. But it's viewed in a perilous state. That's what we're talking about. As opposed to something plundered and stolen, especially something of value, people taking good care of it. That's a geneva. That's much easier to say. That would go to the heirs.
I think those particular articles are possibly not to be used until they find their Mr. Shaul.
Correct.
Soon to be a future.
Yes,
home.
Yes. You know, not so easy for you to claim ownership of the Jewish people for the menorah, right? Look, I saw you took it right there, Arch of Titus. Right?
It's right on. Yeah, they did take it.
Yeah.
What happened to it after?
Yeah, the Lubavitch Hasidim have been fighting for decades and decades. There's a library of the old Lubavitch Rebbe that is sitting in Russia. The Russian government has, and they've been petitioning in the American court, trying to get the Russians, you know, maybe if they topple the government. But we'll see. Yes.
We have confirmed that there are transcripts, original transcripts from the Rambam that are sitting in the Vatican. And I guess if somebody can prove their yichus from
the Rambam,
they'd have a taina on it.
Yeah. You know, there are so many things, this concept of lost artifacts. But we're making a very important Philip difference that Alan pointed out, is a difference between things in a perilous state. You know, yeah, maybe wartime things, you know, are just lost, versus other artifacts which have value, which were stolen, which were plundered. That's different. That's Geneva. You don't have these same dinim of Yish by Geneva too. But okay, that's a little different. There's another case which is also important. I found this tshuva from the Erech Shai. that talks about a case of, I'll read in the middle over there. B'din Ruvain Shematza Koros Akam. Ruvain found some beans that originally belonged to Gentiles. Sheshat Fanar, that were wiped away by the sea. Let's make it more exciting, right? You have these ivory, marble, you know, house beams. Will look pretty nice in my house, especially North Miami Beach, we all have beams in the middle, right? So these beams get wiped, washed out by sea. And he hired a Gentile to gather these beans. He saw them floating somewhere at sea. So he hired someone to get it for him. And in between, someone else came and stole it. Took it from him. Arachshai says you can have a scenario where the second guy would acquire it before the first guy. So these cases, it's really a race. Who's going to get that safe on the bottom of the sea by the Titanic? Who's going to be the first of the Titanic treasure? Who's going to get there first? Maybe you saw it first, but someone else is going to maybe pull it up. So how do you do it? Who wins the race from a halakhic perspective? How do these things work? Yes?
Is size a factor? For example, the United States were the first to land on the moon and they put a U.S. flag. Does that mean they own the whole moon?
They specifically...
So Titanic was so big, maybe right. So it adds one section, it doesn't necessarily mean
that's
it's all.
That's a very, very interesting point.
So,
right?
So no, you want to lift the ship.
Right.
Your ship, it's all right.
They specifically... Yeah.
The fact that America put a flag on the moon, I don't know that it means America owns the moon.
No.
Right? And you're right, like, yeah, it's an interesting thing. The Gemara talks about cases like here. The Gemara talks about two people picking up a talus. You know, who's Conan? This guy, that guy, could he do it by himself? Can't he do it by himself? And yeah, all these cases about how you acquire things when it comes to life. I'm going to come back to Bava Metzia in a second. So the first idea that is an interesting concept, especially when you deal with like the dive to the Titanic, is there's a concept called habata behefker, looking at something hefker. The Gemara brings a tzad that when it comes to kinyanim, if you're giving me a gift or I'm buying something, just the fact I came to look at the car, I came to look at the house, looking normally is not an action, not a major action. I'm seeing something. But normally, looking is not a means to make a kinyan. But the Gemara talks about something which is hefker, something which is ownerless, which is going to be the status we're assuming of objects in the bottom of the sea, where it's washed away, zuto shoyam. So something which is ownerless has an easier threshold of how to make a kinyan on it. So potentially, one might argue, if I'm the first to do a dive, and I find the safe, you know, in some crevice in the bottom of the sea, I should attain ownership. I saw it first. How about the Hefker? I'm looking at Hefker. Josh, you're excited, no? If I set my guy down, he saw it first. So maybe I get the safe. So halakhically, a few things wrong with that. First of all, you look, there's a Tosos here in Bava Metzia on Daf Beis where he says, Hadam Rinan by Bayis Valia, the last few lines of Tosos. The Abata Behefker Kani, Hainu Sha'asa Maisa Koldu, Gugon Shin Dadr Gedr Kata. It's not enough just for you to see it, you also have to do some at least small action around it. For example, you put a little fence around it, right? I put caution tape around it. I put property of Ed.
No circle in the sand. When
right. No private, do not touch.
No trespass.
No trespassing. I put the no trespassing sign around the safe. Right? So you can't just see it. You also have to do an action. Okay, fine. Let's say I did both. I go down there with my stickers. I don't know how you could stick things on the water, but okay.
Water
I put a little thing around, like tie a knot.
Magnets.
Yeah, magnets. Okay. The force of the magnets still work with water pressure?
I think it still works metal on metal.
Okay, metal on metal. So there is such a thing of habata behefker. Halachically speaking, we paskin habata does not work. Just seeing an object is not enough to make a kinyan. So strike one. That's not going to work. Now, potentially, let's try another idea, similar to looking at it. The Gemara also talks about an idea that Daud Amos shall adam kol naslo. If something's within my sphere of Daud Amos, if I get there first within 4 amos of it, I'm calling it. And some of us learn that's the equivalent sort. We hold, let's say someone put something in your backyard or your front yard. Once something's in your property, you own it, right? I want to get into the whole topic because it's a big topic. Nowadays, we all get packages delivered to our doors all the time. What happens if something gets stolen?
Porch pirates.
Porch pirates, right? Yeah. Alan, you started with the Somali pirates. He's talking about the porch pirates.
That's a shear
in
itself.
That's a shear unto itself. But one of the tricky things, from a lucky perspective, is when does it consider entering your property?
Don't shoot them.
Now, if it just comes by your door and your front of your house is open, that's not so clear that's in your possession yet.
That's how open
right.
that porch is.
Right, right. If you would have a gate in front and the, you know, the Amazon guy goes through the gate, puts it by your doorstep, that might already be considered in your property because there's a gate there. But if your house is open and there is no gate, you just put it by there, it's different. So there's a concept of a kinyan chatzar, and similarly, there's even a concept of Daled Amos. Now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, we pass the Yesh Omer to Daled Amos or Adam Konas Lo. He says, V'davka b'sitma o b'tzira shus harabim, o b'chatzar she'in mo b'aylim, o shus harabim, o b'sada chaveiro in a konan. Now, what do you call the waters, international waters, where the Titanic is sitting on? What halachic rishos is that? Would you call that a public domain? Right. You would definitely not define it as a classic public domain, especially with this halacha. It's talked about because there's so many people in the rishos harabim. So we give you, you know, the debate, do we give you your own Daled Amos? Because people are always walking in Daled Amos. But here, this is no man's land. People are not coming down there. And it might be international waters. It might be public in that sense. But that's not a Rosh Hashanah. And seemingly, there would be a concept of a kinyan of Daled Amos. That if it just comes within, you're the first one there. Even without the concept of Habata. But it's within your Daled Amos. Okay, so that might be a pathway to make a kinyan. But also with these kinyanim, you have to know how to make a kinyan. If you have in mind to do one kinyan and you have a second kinyan that you didn't really have in mind to do, it doesn't work. You have to understand fully what you're utilizing to have such a kinyan. But if one would get there first, now it's also interesting. Right. Let's say a better one. Usually the easiest kinyan, let's say it's not even high bot, it's too heavy for me to pick up. But I could do meshicha. I could push it a little bit.
Move it. Yeah.
Move it. So meshicha is a kinyan. Interestingly, remember who's the guy I sent down to the bottom of the ocean to get it? Not a Jewish person, because I would think you would not be allowed to go there. But let's say you hire, hey. Let's say you hire a Gentile to do it. Halacha is Meshicha by an Akam, there's a Nesivas. It says Meshicha by an Akam does not work unless he pushes it to you. Just pushing it a little bit by a Jew, that would work. By a Gentile, it wouldn't. So all these little scenarios, how to actually be Kona, that safe, which is sitting on the bottom of the sea, is not so simple. Looking at it, Pasha, so you're not going to be able to do a lawfully held pasta like that. Dal Amos, maybe. Okay, it's not Rishas Rabim. Meshicha, guy doing it.
He's not a worker, he's in heaven.
Oh, yeah. So they.
I think the government says that.
That might be even better, because in Eved, Yad Eved, Yad Rabo. Whatever the slave does, it's yours.
I think the law of salvage.
Yeah.
You have to actually raise it.
Salvage says in order to attain something, you have to actually pick it up.
I didn't take ocean law and lost law. I don't know if you did, but I, even though all my grades were below sea level.
That was too good of a line. One of our dear lawyers here shared, we were debating, so he said, I didn't take ocean law, because he said in general his grades were below sea level. But quite amazing. But really, these things are so complicated. You know, you think the complications just lie in the physical nature. How am I getting that safe up? Well, from halach nature, it's not so simple either. How to be kona such an object? How do you attain ownership? And if some pirate comes along and grabs it and gets it before you get it, what the status be? Not so simple. And from a halach perspective, you always have to know, okay, how am I going to be the one to be Conant? Any business deal. Okay, right? You know, you have these cases all the time. Ani mahak b'charar. Someone's looking at a property and someone else swoops in. It's Conant. Okay, yeah. So you have to know, is the first one Conant, not Conant? Yeah, not so simple. But either way, I think an important takeaway is we may not know why these things happen. Why in Parshas Korach are you having people fall into an abyss? It's quite eerie. It's also the same time as Surfside, coming up to the second year time. It's quite low op deras hateva. It's not the normal thing. But Lemaisa, the real treasure of the Titanic and all these things, is the interesting halachic situations that you have, and how does halacha view these cases. That's the real treasure that's sitting on the bottom of the sea. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And as I'm continuing next week, tune in for your exact details. Should be same time. I can't promise where we're going to daven. Each week it depends, you know, with the city.